Great. So I'm going to do the reading before I invite Dave up. So we're looking at 2 Kings 6, starting at verse 8. So that's 2 Kings 6, starting at verse 8. It'll probably come up on the screen. but also, yeah, if you've got a Bible to hand or a phone or anything else, feel free to grab that. So it's 2 Kings 6, starting at verse 8. There's mass confusion about the church and mountains. Brilliant, love it. Like, what? What's going on? Mixing it up. Okay, verse 8. So, now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king said, one of his officers, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go, find out where he is, the king ordered, so that I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open the eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were, inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword and bow? Set food and water before them, so that they may eat and drink, and then go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Great, I'll invite Dave up and pray for him before he speaks. Thank you, Lord God, for Dave, for bringing him here, for all this support. The time is invested in hearing from you what you want to speak to us about. I ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to hear what you're speaking to us about. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, that was a good morning. It's great to be with you all again. And we're going to be looking at how God guides us. It's just worth stopping for a minute and just thinking, God loves me. That's what the Bible tells us, isn't it? God loves all of us. And he's got a plan for each of us. And he's got things prepared for us. And sometimes it's good just to stop and remind ourselves we're not battling life or we're not having to deal with everything on our own. We've got a God who loves us, who cares for us, who's for us, who wants the best for us. And that's who he is. And that's what he is to us. It was just as we were, in the worship time, some verses just came to me, and it's a very famous verse. It's of Psalm 23. You'll all have heard it. It says, the Lord is my Scripture. We'll try that once more with a bit of feeling. The Lord is my... And it might have seemed strange to us, because I don't know about you, when I've seen shepherds in our country, they whistle and they have a dog, and the dog snaps at the heels of the sheep and herds them all up. But if you go to Israel, still today, and in the time of David, King David who wrote this, it wasn't like that. The shepherds spent time with the sheep. The sheep got to know the shepherd, so the sheep would follow the shepherd wherever he went. You remember, if you're in Britain, there's an old nursery rhyme that goes, Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow, and everywhere Mary went, the lamb used to go. And that's the same way of thinking, the sheep would follow the shepherd. And this is what it just says in this Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Think about that for a second. I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's like a great place. Not dried up, not barren land, but green pastures. You see, the sheep, they love to eat the green grass of home. And he was trying to sing a song then. And it goes, he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. In other words, I've got so much, it's overflowing. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I like that bit, forever. And it's just good to remind ourselves, when we talk about guidance, we talk about God's got a plan for our lives, that God leads us, that we're following him, that he's for us and he's not against us. In Jeremiah 29, this is what God was saying. These are the children, the Jews, the children of Israel. They've been took captive, they've been taken away to Babylon, and they were in captivity in Babylon. And this is what Jeremiah the prophet said. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are complete for Babylon, I will come to you, fulfill my good promise to bring you back home to this place. For I know the plans I have for you. It's worth stopping there and going, he doesn't just have plans for people back in the day. He has plans for us today. He has plans for me. He has plans for you. Good things prepared for you. Things he wants to help you with. Things he wants to prosper you in. Good plans, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. Who'd like some hope? We do, don't we? We want hope. We want to be able to see a future, see a way forward. Plans of hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and bring you back to a place from which I have carried you in exile. You know, so they're going through a tough time. They've done some things wrong, and God's took his hands off them just a little bit, and he's allowed them to go into captivity. And he's saying, I've not forgotten about you. It's tough at the moment, but I've not forgotten about you. I am for you. I am with you. I've got plans for you. And it's good sometimes to stop and just think, you know, God's got plans for me. He's got good things prepared in advance for me. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, this is after the reading we did in Jeremiah there was before Jesus was born. This is Apostle Paul, is after Jesus was born. In Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, it says this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourself, it's a gift of God, not by work. So you can't work to get saved, to go to heaven. It's a gift. And you've got to accept the gift. So here he's saying it's not by works, saying not, and it's not for this, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So we can't go around and go, I'm really good, mate, you know. No, he's really good. He does good things in us and through us. And it says this, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So he's got good works for us to do. And it says good works which God prepared in advance. So that plan he's got for you is already prepared you to be able to be a blessing to other people and to other places. That's amazing, isn't it? When I look around planet Earth and you see all the billions of people on planet Earth, and you think, actually, God loves me. God cares for me. He's got a plan for me. And he's got good works for me to do. He's got things that I can do. You know, I've said this many times. When I went to Beulah School many years ago. It was just when it changed from Solva Grammar to Beulah. And just as I finished school, I went to what they call your careers advice. Now, this is back in the day. My careers advice was this in 1980. That shows me age now, doesn't it? 1980. This lady read me the report about me. Said she looked at me and said, "You'll be lucky to get a job in a factory." And in a way, humanly speaking, guess what? She was probably right in 1980. Unemployment was high. There was, you know, lots of things were closing down. There wasn't that many jobs around. Humanly speaking, she was right. But my Father, my Heavenly Father, God, he had a plan. He had good works prepared in advance for me to do. And I've been able to do different things that he's allowed me to do and led me in. But this guidance, how do we follow? How do we get God's guidance in our lives? How do we follow God's plan for our lives? And we're going to think on this by using that story that Ruth read to us. And he said, it's an amazing story, isn't it, when you really go, did that really happen? Yes, it did. It's an amazing story. But I want us to think in three areas. I want to think about individually. What's the good works and the plan God's got for me, individually, us individually? What's the good works and God's got for my family? You know, if you've got a family, what's the good works God's got for that? And also, what's the good works and what's the plan God's got for our church here at Mount Chapel, but the church of Salford as well? Because we're with this one church across Salford, we're all different parts of that. And just to think on that, so just help us start to think on that. What's God's guidance on where we go? How does God guide us on where to go? Just read that part of that passage again from 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 8. And it reads like this. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel, and conferring with his officials said, I'm going to set up my camp in such and such a place. I always found that quite amusing when he says such and such a place. I think it was a bit more specific than that. But numerous times he's going, I'm going to set my camp up here, and then we can attack, we can hide behind this hill. Because remember, it was a very different type of warfare in those days. It was the bows and arrows and the spears and the swords and the shields and different things. So it's very different from warfare we see sadly nowadays. And so he's planning where he's strategically going to put his men and what they're going to do. Then it says this, the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged, just checking I'm reading, yeah. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officials and demanded of them, tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel. None of us, Lord the king, said his officials. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. But he was a bit shocked about that one as well. But when you think about it, what Elisha was doing, he was listening to God. He's a prophet. He speaks the words of God. He was listening to God. He was getting wisdom. He was getting, might call it nowadays, intelligence. Intel. And he was telling his king where not to go because he knew where the enemy was. That's quite amazing, isn't it? That God would tell Elisha to tell the king where to be wary of going. You know, we're all on a journey. Life's a journey, isn't it? We're all on a journey with God. And God knows the pitfalls, and he knows the blessings, and he knows the good places for you to be and to go, and he knows the places where it's best for you to completely avoid going. Otherwise, there's consequences. And just like in this story, when the prophet is telling the king these things, you know, God knows the journey you need to go on. He's got the good works prepared in advance for you to do. He's got a plan for your life, and he's got a right journey for you to go on. Sometimes we can get opportunities. Sometimes we can get people want us to change job, or it could be another job. It could be moved to another city, another place, another nation. It could be that God's got things we can get involved in with other people. It's good to check with God. Is that the right place for me? Is that a good place for me to be? Is that the direction I should be taking? You know, sometimes we can drift through life and we can see an opportunity, and we'll on the next part we'll look into this in a bit more detail. We can see an opportunity and we can try and grab the opportunity, but is it the right opportunity? Is it what has made us to do the good works through that, in that place, through that situation? Is that where we should be? Now, we can think of that as an individual. We can think of that as family, if we're making decisions for our family. And we can think of that as a church. All the different churches in Salford, I'll let you into, it's not really a secret, but I'll pretend it is, so it sounds really good. I'll let you into it. They're all different. I've been in quite a lot of them, been around a lot of them. They're all different. They're all great, but they're all different. And they're all doing the same thing, but slightly different things. It's a bit like in the New Testament, it talks about the body. That we're like a body, that these fingers, these noses, the ears, these eyes, they all do slightly different things, but when they come together, they make a complete body. And it's good as a church just to reflect, what's God called us to be? What part of the body has God called us to do? Are we doing what we should be doing? Are we doing the right thing? It's good to reflect on those things, for individually, for our families, and for a church. And it's got to seek God's guidance in that. And the way God's leading us and the way God is taking us forwards. In the next part of the reading from verse 13 onwards, we're going to think about the truth of circumstances. We'll spend a little bit more time on this one. But think of the truth of circumstances. Have you ever spoke to two or three different people who've seen the same incident? Remember talking to somebody who was in the police, who was a detective in the police, and he said, if ever we go and there's an accident and everyone tells us exactly the same thing, we know there's something a bit dodgy about it. Because actually, if we're all stood at different parts looking at the same thing, we're going to see something slightly different. So actually, when you think about it in life, when I'm entering a situation, I'm looking with my eyes in one direction. But there's lots of different angles to that direction, to that incident. And here in this passage, it's quite an amazing story. We'll read from 2 Kings 6, verse 13. And it says this. The king says, go and find where he is, the king ordered. He wants to capture Elisha. So I can send men to capture him. The report came back, he's in Dothan. So he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servants of the man of God got up and went out early in the morning, an army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. Oh my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. What shall we do? He's seeing it from one perspective. He's seeing it from one angle. This is what the prophet says. The prophet says, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Now, what you've got to capture here is the prophet is not seeing the same as the servant. The prophet's already seeing there's another army out there. The servant's seeing one army and thinking, we're doomed. It's like a bit Dad's army, isn't it? Back in the day. We're doomed. We're going to cop for it. We're going to have it. You know, I can see the end coming. They're going to come and say, look at that big army. But the prophet's not doing that. The prophet's just looking out and he's seeing how God sees. With human eyes, there's a big army. But with God's eyes, he's seeing something different. And it says this, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the servant. Now, what does he mean, open the eyes? Because he had eyes to see. He's talking about his spiritual eyes. To be able to see what's happened spiritually, not just physically. It's like a fourth dimension. That's what he's asking God to do. Let him see what you're doing, what you're about in this situation, in this circumstance. And so the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hurdles full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. In other words, all the angels had come. So you've got one sense is looking with his human eyes and going, we've had it. But then when he sees with God's eyes, he goes, no, God's with us. If God is for us, who can be? In other words, when you say who can be against us, it means who can take on God? If God's really for us, we're on the victory side. We're on the winning side. We can overcome this situation. See? And these verses challenge me to think, how do we see life? How quickly does circumstance overwhelm us if we don't watch out? How quickly does a situation, we look at the situation as we see with our human eyes, without saying, God, you're my shepherd, you're my guide, will you show me how do you see this situation? Now that can be in an individual, in a personal situation. It might be a situation we're facing at work or we're facing at university or college or wherever we're studying. And it might be somewhere I can't see a way forward. It may be that we're looking for a job and are really trying to find a job. We're thinking, I'm struggling to find the next place for me, work-wise. And with human eyes, we start to get down. That happens, doesn't it? He's trying, it's not working. Sometimes we've got to stop and go, God, what's your plan? What's your way forward? Will you guide me? Will you lead me? Will you show me the truth of the situation? You know, sometimes in my job, I have to deal with situations where there's been a fallout, where there's been issues, and I got brought in, and you've got to sort the situation out. With human eyes, you can take a side, and you go, these are right and they're wrong. Sometimes with God's eyes, he doesn't necessarily take us out. He brings people back together and points them in the right direction. You know, God's got a way of healing situations. He's got a way of bringing unity. He's a God of unity. His Father, Son and Holy Spirit, three in one, are unified. He's got a way of bringing people back together and leading people forwards and guiding them. You see, what have we got to do? We've got to keep our eyes on him. To ask, can we see as you see? Will you guide us individually or our family or our church or our nation, whatever we're praying about? Will you guide us? Will you lead us? May we see as you see. May we see the fullness, not just from our perspective. May we see the fullness of a situation. May you give us your wisdom, your understanding, your knowledge in this situation. Because actually we believe there's a victory here. We believe there's a way forward here. That if that's a job, we believe there's a job. And where is it, God? Where do I look? We believe there's future for our family. God lead us in that direction. Where there's a strain in a relationship, we believe there's a future in this relationship. God, help us to see as you see. Help us to lead as you see. And for church, Mount Chapel, there's a future. I'm waiting, it's building. There's a future, isn't there? There's a future. You look around today, you know, every time I come, there's new people. And that's great. Some people might come once, might come more than once. That's great. You know, when we walk with the Lord, we're walking with Him, we see as He sees, and we get hope arises. Now, it doesn't mean you can be complacent. It means you've got to share, you've got to show your love for Jesus, etc., etc. But it means He has a future. And He's got a plan. And He's got good works prepared in advance for Mount Chapel as a fellowship to do, as much as the individuals within Mount Chapel to do. It's not about doing things collectively together. It's something about caring for each other. It's something about showing love to each other. It's something about cheering each other on when we're finding life a bit tougher. It's something about lifting each other up. It's something about running alongside each other and going, you can do it. You can achieve what God's got for you to achieve. And, you know, when we look at this passage, that's what Elisha could have gone to his servant and said, you daft. You didn't do that. Can't you see what God's doing? And have a big wagging finger at him and telling him off. He didn't do that, did he? He prayed for him. Because he wants him to grow, to become like he is in God. So to walk with God. You know, I often said this many times before, but when I was smaller walking around Salford, my dad knew loads of people. So I'd stick my hand in my dad's hand. Those are the days when I had, back in the day when you had little grey shorts on. You wore, and I had hair. It was a nice experience at the time. And he used to walk around with my dad. And my dad people would go, hiya Pastor King, hiya Pastor King. And lots of, because they had a big youth club attached to his church, and all sorts of stuff going on. So lots of people near the precinct would know him. See, I've got a heavenly father. As much as my earthly dad, he was a great dad, knew lots of people. My heavenly father knows everyone. Don't you know lots of people? He's created them. He's called them by name. He's got a plan for them. He's got good works for them. And He's got people like us who is saying, say this to so and so. Say this, do this for that person. That person needs your help. That person needs a smile. That person needs a word of encouragement. And you see, when we look for His guidance, it isn't just for us. It's for the good works we'll do. It's amazing, isn't it? When you reflect on what God's got for us and how God has, what's God got us to do for others. And the truth is, God's got a plan for you. Whoever you are in this room today, if you're watching on the Zoom, God's got a plan for you. God loves you. He cares for you. He sent Jesus to die on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, what did He do? He paid the price for our sins so that we could be forgiven. That's what the communion, the breaking bread's about. It reminds us that His body was broken, that's the bread, the symbol of the bread. And His blood was shed, the symbol of the juice, so we could be forgiven and be brought back in the family. And it tells us in the Bible that we become sons and daughters of the Most High God. So I walk around, I'm a son of a king. That's who I am. That's who we are in Him. And that's who we walk like and we talk like. So that's the truth of circumstance. The truth of circumstance is not what we see with our human eyes, but how God sees it. And that's the truth. So we may look round and we may remember days when the church was fuller than it is today. But God looks and He sees the chairs being refilled. And He sees people, new people coming in. And He sees new people knitting together and working together as the next generation of a family. That's going to go out from this place and be in their workplaces, in their schools, in their universities, on their streets, in their apartment blocks, their flats, as we used to call them. And they're going to be like Christ there. They're going to show Christ to other people. And the last part of this reading, let's read from 2 Kings 6, 19 to 23. And this is, let's reflect on this, about what it says about how we should treat other people. 2 Kings 6, 19 to 23, and it says this: Elijah told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. They entered the city. Elijah said, "Lord, open their eyes of these men so they can see." Now, this is quite a sizable army. Now, I was thinking that they couldn't have been totally blind. They'd been stumbling all over the show. They just couldn't see the right place to go. And he goes, "Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked and saw they were in Samaria." They were in the middle of the enemy's strongest place, fortified place. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elijah. Now, this is a warning against getting too overconfident and too giddy. Because this is what this guy was. This guy was getting, this king suddenly got a bit power mad. And he's going, "Shall I kill them, Father? Shall I kill them? I've won. I've not done anything, but I've won." And he says this: "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill those you captured with your own sword and bow? Set water before them so they may eat and drink and go back to their master." So he prepared. So he said, set water and like basic food before them. But he prepares a great feast for them. It's interesting, isn't it? These are the people who've come out to try and capture Elisha. They come out to try and attack and kill the people of Israel. And what does the prophet say to do, the man of God say to do? Set a meal for them. Bless them. Think best of them. What's the second greatest commandment? The first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. The second one is this: love your neighbour as you love yourself. So actually, don't look to get, "I'm going to get my own back on him." Do you know what he did to me? Do you know what he said about me? Do you know what this and do you know what that? And do you know what, "I'm going to get my own back"? No, no, no. I'm going to bless. I'm not going to react. I'm going to act. And I'm going to bless. And I'm going to encourage. And this is what he's saying, the prophet's saying here. And the prophet's saying, being aware of the other person, be aware of their need, be aware of what they are going, what God wants for them. In Acts chapter 8, I'm just going to finish with this story. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. This is Philip, the apostle Philip, and he's been in Samaria, and lots of things, people are coming to faith, and lots of people are becoming Christians, and the church is growing. And then it says this: "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to a road, the desert road." Now that's guidance, isn't it? Angel of God's coming to him, telling him where to go, so he's guiding him. A desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Seems very relevant nowadays with the names, doesn't it? So he's telling him where to go. See, God's guiding him. He's in a place where everything's going well. He's in a place where the church is growing. He's in a place where people are coming to faith. And the angel comes and says, "I want you to go. And I want you to go to a road through a desert." If there was ever a place, you probably wouldn't have expected to see too many people. I mean, it was an artery road. People would travel along the road. There was no people living in that area. The nomad would move around, but there was no place there. And he tells him to go to a desert road. You see, God's guidance for him is this. He's going to send him there to get the gospel, that is the good news of Jesus, to Africa. He's going to go from there to Ethiopia. But it's a desert road where no one is. But God knows who's going to travel down that road. See, sometimes God tells us to do something that just seems a bit, what? But there's a purpose. And it reads like this as we read on from there. from verse 27. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury at Candrake, which means Queen of the Egyptians. In other words, he met the Chancellor, in our terminology of Britain nowadays, he met the Chancellor of the Exchequer on a road. The person in charge of our whole nation's wealth and money. And he says, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was on his way home and was sitting in the chariot reading the book of Isaiah. Now the book of Isaiah is one of the other prophets in the Old Testament, so it's a book about his story and what he said. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I understand it unless someone explains it to me? See, God's guidance sometimes, he sometimes tells us to do something and we think, why do that? Things are going really well here. Why go there? But you see, God's got him ministering into a town where he was. He's going to take him to a desert to minister to a nation. And the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, is going to go to a completely new nation in Ethiopia. It'll be the first nation apart from Egypt in Africa to get the gospel. Isn't that amazing? See, God sees things differently to how we humanly see things. And it's good just to check in our own lives. It's good just to check in our family's life when we're making decisions. And we make decisions, let's be honest, every day. And in our church life, it's good to check. Are we on the right path? Is this who we are in you? Is this what you're calling us to do? And then it's good then to run the race well. And encourage each other in running the race. See, God is for us. He's got a plan for our lives. He's got good works prepared in advance for us to do. Let's grab hold of his plan. Let's see the good works and let's deliver on it. And you know what? Let's enjoy the good life he's given us to live. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word, the Bible. Thank you for the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge that's in it. Thank you for the guidance that's within your word. And may you guide us and lead us forward in you, individually. Father, I just pray for each person in this room that they'd know your plan for their life day by day. They'd know what you've got for them to do. And I just pray they would prosper in that. And we just pray for each family represented here, maybe even by only one person, but we pray for every member of their extended family. We pray for a blessing on each family represented here. We just pray that they know you and know you more, know your guidance and your leading. And we just pray for Mount Chapel. Father, thank you that you've got a plan and you've got a purpose and you've got good works prepared in advance. Thank you for the fellowship here, thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the support of each other in this room. And we just pray that will keep on increasing. Keep on growing and keep on developing. In the name of Jesus. Amen.